All right, that is good. So let me answer that first one. Somebody asked, okay, no, yesterday, what I spoke extensively about was on the matter of borrowing, all right? And I said that Christians often lay emphasis on where the emphasis is not supposed to be. And that's the issue of, can I borrow something from somebody? And I explained that, one, the matter of credit system in business is based on trust, do you understand? Where people trust themselves and people who keep their words, business moves faster. That way somebody can, based on his integrity, I explained that everything has value. Do you understand my point? Everything has value. That is, money has value. Okay, sometimes you don't have money. You have your integrity. And that, it's a greater, actually the Bible says a good name is better. All right, so if you have a good name, it actually has more value than the money that you have. If you go to a bank, the reason why they lend you money is because they are sure they will get their money back with interest. So they try to ensure it in case they don't know you personally. So they say, all right, where's your father's house? Where's the paper to it? You say, okay, they assess the house. It's worth 12 million naira. They lend you 2 million naira. Very good business. They are hoping you won't pay. Now, some people are like that. But if you're a believer, you don't want to defraud anybody. You want to help people. I'm not saying that you should throw your money away. I'm just saying that the mentality is that of helping. So the bank will probably, they will ask you for collateral, all right? The idea is that you ensure they get their money back. It's based on their integrity. But I know many stories, many people that go to banks, collect a lot of money, and there's no collateral. Why? You know, all they are praying is, just go and take life insurance. As once you don't die, they don't have any problem. They know you're a good man. Do you understand what I'm saying? They know you will pay back. Many people have risked their jobs. Many bank managers risk their jobs on the integrity of their friends. That, and I know this man, he's going to pay. What I mean is that you may not have collateral. You have a good name. And a good name for you has become, is valuable. And you're now using that one to do business. And let me just say that again and emphasize when we're talking about spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies. You know, I said that we're looking at the spiritual foundations for all these things. Don't ever forget what you should strive for as those special qualities, like a good name. You understand? Like everything has value. Some people say, okay, want to acquire assets, want to buy land, want to buy this. For a believer, first thing you try to buy in business is what? A good name, a good reputation. Let it be that if this man sells me a phone, I know the phone is good. All right? Whatever he says is what he is the truth about it. We're going to talk about advertising. All right? The spirit behind it. It's not to try and persuade people to come and spend their money when you can't give them value. Advertise is supposed to show people that I can do this thing for you. And if I say I can, I can. All right? That's why somebody like Mary Kay, when she started the business, they gave you, their customers, a 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed warranty. You know what I'm trying to say? That is, if you use our product at any time and you're not happy with it, return it, we will not ask you any question. Do you follow my point? All right, so because things that, and when you are giving people such warranties, you are so sure, that you are putting your best into it. Of course, somebody says, there are people who are crooks. That is the truth. But you will discover that majority of people are not like that. Do you follow what I'm going to say? So please, we must learn that to build a good name. So talking about credit, let me not digress from that point. I may come back to this issue again. This good name matter, because we cannot emphasize it enough. How to build a good name. All right? Now, talking about this credit matter, so it's that ability to repay that people are more concerned about. So where people know that you will pay, they will gladly give you credit. Do you get my point? And that helps you to start your business. For example, if you want to start selling things and you want to open a supermarket and all you have is enough money to rent the shop. Maybe you don't have money to rent the shop, but you have a good name. And everything with you is what? The good name. So you find a place open and somebody knows that this is a very reliable man. Say, okay, please, I know you want to charge me 200,000 naira per annum for this space, but I need it. I don't have the money. Please, can I just have it? I will pay you every quarter to the end of the year. I'm sure I would be able to do good enough a business. And then sometimes, when you are not, you know, let me just say this by the way. Don't promise things that are not within your powers to deliver. Because a good character and good intention does not always translate to ability. Did you hear what I said? A good character and good intentions don't always translate to ability. So be careful when you are making promises to people. This is a tip. If something doesn't depend on you, don't swear by it. What I mean is that, let us assume you sell something, all right? You are a retailer or a wholesaler, whatever it is. You are not the manufacturer. And somebody says that, I want 1,000 units of this. Now, when somebody tells you that, it's not within your abilities to manufacture. But if you are supplied, you will give to the person. So you can say, okay, just tell the person, don't say, don't worry, tomorrow morning it will be with you. Do you know why? You ain't the manufacturer. You can tell the person, I have 500 now. I can send that one to you first thing tomorrow morning. I immediately place order for a new one, and I hope, or I believe that my suppliers, they usually respond within 24 hours. All things being equal, by tomorrow evening, I should have another consignment which I'll deliver to you the following morning. Do you understand? Now, you don't go and promise. I read this man's book, Paul Getty, How to Be Rich. He talked about the imp of the impossible. Now, I still don't understand what he meant by the imp of the impossible. Is it the IMP before the possible, or it means the goat of the impossible, you know, an imp? like a monkey. Uh-huh. All right, so I don't know whether it means the monkey of the impossible or the IMP of the impossible. Imp. But what I want to say is that people should, that he hears the word impossible. He's doing business, people are just saying, this is impossible, it's impossible, it's impossible. Even though he was saying that, he was telling us that, look, in the book, the reader, be careful anyway, that you had the manager who will promise anything. That the man will promise anything. If these people want this thing delivered next week, and he knows if everybody works at their best, it takes 3 weeks to produce. Once people insist they want it next week, that's it. He signs a deal that next week it will be delivered. And then he starts working hard. Of course, by the following week, the thing cannot be delivered. You understand the point? It can't be delivered. Then he starts explaining. Anyway, he says eventually he had to fire the man. That the man was causing him too much. That very hardworking guy. Always meant well. Except that he didn't know where to stop making promises. So after a while, he had to fire the guy. Sorry, please, you are causing me too much problems. So let's be careful. You follow what I say? Uh-huh. You have to be careful. You don't promise things that are not within your own capacity to deliver. All right? Then what I'm saying so is that if you have to promise, or if you have to help somebody or maybe make a commitment, let the person know the hindrances, the limitations. That's the word I was looking for. The limitations. So that if you can't deliver, he will understand that everything within your power was done, but this one is not within your power. And you tried your best to ensure that it was done, but it wasn't. I'm trying to talk about this. I'm just adding this issue of building a very good name. You understand my point? So, you know, I started by saying, okay, maybe you want to start a business. You don't have money to rent a shop. So, why I said that is that if you go and promise somebody that, look, within 3 months, I will pay you all your money. Be sure where you're planning to get the money from. But if somebody that knows you well, I know that, look, I plan to do business, and I trust God that the business will do well. All right? So as it comes, you will be the priority when I'm paying. You know, that kind of thing. You let somebody know. But because you're a man of integrity and the man that has a good name, sometimes when you can't meet up with your commitment like that, if you have a track record of having a good name, people easily understand. And of course, you will prove it eventually that they didn't make a mistake. When as soon as God opens the door, you fulfill your obligations. Like the story I told you yesterday. You follow my point? Even though that guy was saying, don't bother, I understand. Even though the guy understands, like I said, the other man who was the one under pressure refused to understand. That since this man understands, I cannot relax. Said, no, I know you understand, but I made a commitment. So he tried his best, all right, to fulfill it, even though it was delayed. But at the first possible opportunities, he kept on meeting those obligations. Now, so let's assume somebody now agreed to you, okay, you get the shop. You haven't paid money. You've used your what? Good name. Then you have guys who are wholesalers. Maybe you know people in PNG. You know people in PZ. You know those people. You walk up to them. Stock this thing for me. Your money is coming to you. You can be sure of that. Now, I will say something along the line. Please, if you are doing business, go and learn how to use insurance. Did I hear an amen? Let me say that again. If you are doing business, go and learn how to use what? Insurance. Try. If no company will give you insurance, You can develop your own insurance. I hope you know that. You can. You can. You can. There's a certain markup on your goods and services that's meant for, that you are using to insure other issues. So you keep the money aside. Make sure it is well kept aside. Better still, if you shop around enough, you see a good insurance company, give them the money. You know, a lot of people are very selfish. That's one of the reasons why they do bad business. What do I mean? He doesn't understand some concepts. He doesn't know why he should pay a lawyer. It's not to write on paper. His problem is not that he doesn't want the agreement, but he doesn't know why he should pay that lawyer. No, you know, as a young boy, I didn't understand when they said people were architects. I said, ah, all these bricklayers around, what are they doing? Is he not architecting? You know what I'm saying? As a child. Because I didn't, people are just people building. It was as I began to grow up, I understood that, oh boy, if you don't want to regret later, you know, some people say, ah, how can I, instead of 5 million, I'll now spend another 500,000 to pay somebody to draw a drawing. I have grown enough to know that 500,000, you won't regret it. If you want to regret your 5 million, start without the professional telling you what to do. Just start without the professional. You see, I told you that what wise men do at the beginning, fools do at the end. So we know that some of these things have been corrupted. You go to America and there are lawyers that they are just troublemakers. They are making money from making trouble. Now, so why I said that one is the matter of insurance. If you are doing business, please, it is not lack of faith to insure your goods and your premises. And like I said before, did I discuss this one? Arrange medical insurance for your staff. Please, please. Now, these things, they help you. Okay? They do. All right? Now, why did I even get into that? I was talking about, so because if you are going to receive goods that you're not paying for, do you understand? It is good you insure them. That way, you don't have to tell somebody, it wasn't my fault, it was the thieves. It was the fire. I know we Africans, we just expect everybody to understand that it was not my fault. After, you can see now, we're standing here when the flood came. What could I do against the flood? Now, let me tell you, sometimes people understand, you know what I'm saying? But it's in their minds already that this guy is a risky investment. They will understand though. They won't fight you. But in their mind, this guy is risky. But you know what it will be like in which calamity actually strikes the market? It's not your fault. Everything got burnt up. And then you sit there somebody that, don't worry. Please, like I told you before, what do you ask from people? Time. You don't ask for them to forgive. They write it off. You ask for time. Please, be patient with me. You know, the other day we were analyzing the Grameen Bank by Muhammad Yunus. One of my friends said, we had a small argument over that, actually. He said that he doesn't forgive debt. I said, no, he doesn't. He said, why not? That is real capitalism. I said, are you saying capitalism as if it's an evil thing he's doing? That is, look, if he lent the people money, like you heard him say, to buy a cow for their farming, and the cow dies, so he can't hold the person. They're going to look for money to pay us back. He can't. What do you expect the person to do? So they lend the person money to buy another one. So what about the first one? Say we'll restructure the loan into a very long-term loan, which essentially, all right, the person has been forgiven the loan, except that the dignity of still paying back is still there. And more importantly, you want people to be responsible. You see, human beings, all right, it's just a natural thing inside them. They will be careless if they think they don't have to be responsible. That is why you've heard the saying in Igbo land that it's everybody's goat that starves. How does it go again? There's a proverb like that. You know, you see a goat that belongs to everybody in the village, the goat will never get anything to eat. You know, sometimes when I have to drop my kids, you know, in my in-laws' place, as my wife's parents' place, maybe they want to go for holiday and go and play. And my mother-in-law is always so insistent that, look, bring my grandchildren. Fine. Now, the house is very big. It's quite big. Very, very big. And a number of people live in the house. All right? Which usually is all makes it technically easier to leave children. There are no people to care for them. But I always used to tell my wife then, before you drop any of the kids there, you pick one of your cousins or whoever it is that's in the house and hand somebody over to somebody. Please, and can you lose your responsibility? Because the problem is that when there are so many people, everybody assumes somebody else is looking after him. The boy will not eat. Somebody assumes he has eaten. And because there is food, you understand my point? It's not as if food is scarce. And so you just assume he has eaten. But when you hand him over to somebody, the person will make sure in the morning, oh yeah, but what, have you eaten? If he hasn't eaten, because a child, he can't make food for himself. Then somebody will go and make food for him. You have to, people must be responsible. That's the point I'm making. Do you understand the point? All right, so the man said, look, he doesn't forgive loans. Like, look, let the calamity be a national calamity. The loan they have given you, you will pay back. But then, maybe over the next 20 years, for a man who's doing short-term loan structures, all right, that's essentially forgiving it. You are getting what I'm trying to say. So the fact that the market bounced down, doesn't mean that you shouldn't pay the people that supplied you, especially on trust. It's not your money. I hope you get the point I'm making. It's not your money, therefore you should. Ay, Jesus Christ. I hope people will understand this. These are the things you use to build a good name for yourself. And I'm giving you sound advice. When you're under such circumstances, somebody sends you goods, worth maybe ₦500,000, you've put it in a shop in which you are owing the landlord to, you understand what I'm saying? And then you get a number of people to supply you materials because of your good name. The least you can do for yourself is have a bit of insurance. Yes, you should. Like I said, please get this one in bed and that thing. One thing that marks out a believer is what? Love. Please, everybody say that out loud. Love. You know what love? You want everybody to be blessed. You want everybody to be blessed. One of my doctors, we make a joke about him that he does everything by himself, that left to him, and nobody will make money in this life. Repair his generator, service his AC. Even if he can service his car, he will do it himself. I say, oh boy, look, listen, how will other people earn money now? I mean, Nigeria, labor is not expensive. I mean, let somebody else do this. Why should I be the one dismantling my generator? All right? I only do such things when I have nobody reliable, all right, to help me. Once I find, I look for the person. How much is he going to charge you? Service generator, it costs ₦500. I let the man walk and earn some money. What I'm listening about, love, that's what I'm talking about. Realize something. Bear it in mind that everybody needs to be blessed. Amen? Yes, so don't be afraid to pay people for their services. In fact, I think it's Peter Daniels said that if the brethren will yearly help you, and that's very good. You know, brethren helps people. Brethren help people to start out in business. They will help, all right. But if somebody is helping you with the services that's the means of his own livelihood, he said, always offer to pay. Let him decline if necessary. I hope you get my point. Let's assume now, for example, this we need to paint this place, and one of us here paints, and that's his job. He paints. Do you follow? I say, come and paint. Listen, this is what he does for a living. Once he finishes painting, I will offer to pay. Now, if he decides on his own, the pastor, no, be here with the chop words together, you know, that kind of thing. No, that's my own offering. Fine. You get what I'm saying? Fine. No, there's no problem with that. The offering will be received as an offering. Incidentally, the way I do in our account books, I will put the cost of painting as expenditure, and right beside it, I put that same cost as an offering. That's how I do my accounting. No, that's what I do. Like, if the person, let's say we're supposed to pay ₦10,000 for all the work, and I say, okay, so how much are we paying you? No, pastor, please, I can't take money for this. After all of us are here with the chop words together, that kind of thing. I'll thank you very much. Bless him for ₦10,000 offering. And write in the book, cost of painting, $10,000. Then in the credit section, I'll put it offering for painting, ₦10,000. So it's instantly it cancels out, but it goes into the record that we spent ₦10,000 on painting. Now, I think it was Peter Daniels that mentioned something like that. All right, when you're heading, say, oh, this is very good. That if now it's different when you get an engineer to give you legal advice. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Or even you get a Pastor Banky to give you medical advice. Actually, that's not, you know, in this situation, that's not my, you know, that's not the work, really. You can say that's work I do. All right? I preach as far as you are concerned. All right? So that's a different matter. But if you walk into the clinic of a, because he's a brother, you say you just sit down in the clinic, take his 1 hour consulting time, get his nurse to attend to you, and you expect to walk out free like an abroad now, you know, as tea free in Jesus' name. That is what? Tea free. You understand my English about tea free? Uh-huh. You understand? If he decides that no, leave the money. You know what somebody said? Favor is like a bank account. The more you use it, the less of it you have. You've not heard that thing before. Say favor is like a bank account. The more you use it, the less of it you have remaining. There was a time that my wife was here, that was some years ago, and UNTH was, I think was on strike or had some issues, so we had to go to a hospital nearby. And after, she was there for, I think, about 2 days, you know. And the bill was heavy, so the man's, after we sat down for a while, I knew my hospital would pay because they were on strike. There's a way it is. I just told my CMD, the hospital is going to pay, no problem. But I had cash to pay. So the man answered that, oh, so, doc, who's putting the bill? I said, he said, oh, if you are the one, please, leave it, please. Just take your wife and go. I thought about it for a second. I said, don't worry, sir. My CMD will pay. So I dipped my hand in my pocket, paid their bills, and took their receipts and gave it to my hospital. After a few months, they gave me back the money. And somebody said, why did you do that? I said, favor is like a bank account. I mean, my favor with that man is still full. I never used anything from him. The thing is still full. As with my CMD, that one is inexhaustible. If you know what I'm trying to say. You know, the difference is, the man who's the CMD now was not the CMD that time. All right, and then that one is a, I mean, I work for them, and there are certain things I was entitled to. Now, please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making there. All right, so I'm just giving some simple tips on how to be, you know, good, righteous business people. Because unlike Christians make, you know, if you have enough faith to move mountains, shall I say this, is your personal problem. It doesn't concern the person you are dealing with. What he wants to see is what? His money, his results. He wants to see his goods and services delivered. So use your faith to move your own things and deliver other people's goods and services at the appropriate time. Now, please, you know, I've been dragging on the matter of, what is it now? Okay, I was trying to review something, but I think we're learning some things as we are going on, all right? So that's it. You get people to supply things to your shop. That's how you have used your good name. Other people have gone to a bank and finally raised maybe 2.5 million naira to start this entire the establishment. But you don't have that kind of facility, but you have a reputation. That's why, oh God, let me say it again. Guard your reputation with what? All your might. Guard it with all your might. Sometimes you will lose money unjustly, just so that you don't lose your reputation. Now, let me withdraw the word reputation, because people say that's what men think of you. All right? But what I'm saying is that guard your integrity. Yeah, that's better. Guard your name with all your might. What I don't mean that use the advertising campaign to cover your bad behavior. I mean, make sure that you always are of good behavior, and once in a while, when it appears like you will be misunderstood, agree to take the loss if you can. Usually when you talk like this, some people now say that, what about that? Some people are unreasonable. I know. There are goats everywhere. Do you follow what I mean? So I'm not talking about interaction with goats. I'm talking about normal interaction with sensible people. Because bad people, no matter how good you try to be to them, they are bad. So usually there are times you tell a man, please, I love you, may the Lord bless you, but I will appreciate if you don't patronize my business anymore. Actually, it costs me more problems than any other thing. So, no, you shouldn't be afraid to say that. Because there's a balance to this thing. Sometimes people feel like, I don't want to offend anybody. Don't offend anybody. The reason why they are saying is that they think that people are the key to their breakthrough. It's not people. Do you get my point? It's not. It's God. It is God. We are just saying, all right, as long as it depends on you, follow peace with what? All men. Make sure that you are known for your integrity, for your honesty, for your truthfulness. That if this man says this is so, it is so. Let me just say this to make you laugh. You know, my wife sells clothing, you know, mostly, you know, men's clothing, women's own too, but mostly corporate wears and suits and all of that. Virtually all these suits, are labeled Made in Italy, Giorgio Armani, Calvin Klein, Dolce & Gabbana, you know what I mean? All the big, big names. Except that all of us know that it's not as much as a Giorgio Armani as I am an astronaut. You get my point? One day a friend of mine wore a shirt written Polo. I took the shirt. So if this is Ralph Lauren's Polo, then I'm on the moon. I said, I must be an astronaut. He said, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean? No. One day, one of my chiefs was wearing a watch. And I said, okay, this is your watch. Is it a real Rolex? He said, how will you know it's not the real Rolex? I said, how much do you pay for it? They sell you a watch for 10,000 naira. It's not a Rolex. In Jesus' name, it's not a Rolex. Unless a man Tifa. Or he just decided to dash you, in which case he can't collect the 10,000. Lest you think you paid for it. One of Aboki, I bought a watch for my wife from once. It was written Odoma Pige. I said, this is not a real Odoma Pige. He said, wallahi, it's a real one. I said, go. Thief. You are selling me a watch for 2,000 naira on the roadside. And you want me to think it's an Odoma Pige. What's wrong with you? Listen, Odoma Piggies go for $100,000 for a watch. You're selling me a watch for 2,000 naira. And you want me to think it's an Odoma Piggies? Take your time. You know, I was very angry with the man. Don't insult me like this next time. No, this is just to educate you. When you see them advertise Omega, Patek Philippe, and you go on the road, you see a man wearing an Omega. He doesn't have a car, doesn't have a motorbike. He's wearing a 1,500 naira shoe and he's walking on the road and he says his watch is Omega. Don't just answer. If you answer him, it is you that's crazy. It's not the guy. Which is that go? By the time you are paying Tiger Woods to advertise a Tag Heuer, look, do you know how much Tiger Woods is collecting from them? Anyway, this is by the way, all right? Sometimes you are the one that wants to be deceived. You get what I'm saying? So let me get back to where my G started from. This is just general education. So some people come, maybe my wife is saying to someone, they say, this is an Armani. She go, look the person. How much am I selling it to you? 12,000. And you're asking whether it's an Armani. Now this is the interesting part. There are people who sell the same suits, that's the point I'm coming to, the same thing and swear it's an Armani and sell to you for 60,000 naira. My wife will sell it to you, 12,000 bucks. And they swear, this is an Armani. Listen to me. But let me just say this. It's a good time to answer that question. That's wickedness. You hear what I said? It's what? Wickedness. Because you see, when you sell a suit to a man and you tell him to pay 60,000 naira. Now, an averagely enlightened person thinks it's a fair price for an Armani. A well-enlightened person knows it does not exist. Armanis don't go for 60,000 naira. The cheap Armani is $700, $1,000. Do you get what I'm saying? So, but an average person thinks that 60K is heavy. I mean, he knows his friends who buy suits for 10,000, 12,000, 25,000. For him to cough out 60K, he thinks he has coughed out money. You know what it means? He has believed you. He has believed you, and you have incurred a cost onto your business. So people say, that's my price. Listen, my friend, you can lie without, you stylishly lie. You know, you see these boys who sell sunshades at the roundabout. They irritate me. These things are 200 bucks. Somebody said that, the other way I was buying these sunshades that they sell around. He said, okay, yeah, you buy another one. I said, look, I expect to last 1 week. It's 1 week. They can put any name you like on it. I don't care. No matter what the guy says, I'm paying him 200 bucks. If he falls apart after 1 week, I never feel bad. Once he falls apart, I stop again, call the next guy, collect another one. But when you now offer that same thing to me, put in a different packaging, and tell me this one is 6,000 naira, what you are telling me without saying anything is that you're automatically reprogramming my brain to make me think it's a real, like for example, now maybe they say it's a Calvin Klein. You want me to think it's a real Calvin Klein. And there are little things. You say, what's the big? It's not just a name. It's not just a name. If Calvin Klein gives you a black, if the what do you call this side thing that you hang on your ears, if it's black, the black should remain black till Jesus comes back. The one I buy from these guys, I expect it to fade after about 3 weeks of handling it. If it's plastic, if it drops, it should break. But if Calvin Klein gave it to me, I know that thing is impregnated with so much rubber that it can't break because it dropped. You might say, yeah, this is my price. It's my price, okay? No. Prices talk. Are you getting my point? Yes, they make statements. They make statements. By the time you tell them, oh, this suit is 60, he actually thinks he's buying the real thing. By doing that, you have defrauded him. You have. Whether he knows or not, let me tell you the truth. You know, I've heard people say that if I don't tell them like that, they won't buy. Why? They don't want to buy because they don't want the quality you are selling. I don't know whether you get my point. That's why he's not buying. It's not because he's a wicked soul. Look, because of the kind of, you know, I'm my wife's spiritual advisor, advisor. So, in fact, so when she does doing all these principles I'm teaching you, she operates every single one of them. Ah, everyone is operated. I said, okay, you have a lot of rich clients. Okay? It's simple. They don't want to say, okay, are you interested in wearing a real this? I can get it for you. But please, you are going to pay me $150,000 per suit. If the man is not interested, then he's not your customer. Why bother? He goes to America. When he gets there, let him buy. Like, let's say, look, it's not everybody that must buy something from you. Are you the only creature on this earth? You are getting my point. Look, my wife sells wristwatches as an example. There's a way she will look at you. She won't even offer you to buy. And that is not slighting. No. Do you get my point? If it's not good for you, you shouldn't pay $60,000 for a wristwatch if you don't earn a certain amount of money. You want a 1,005 watch, go and buy from their bookie. She doesn't have. No, and I'm serious about that. And you know the reason? Because I said, look, some of these people that so-called have money, now listen to this, nobody on earth likes being defrauded. Please, get this one into your mind. Nobody likes to be cheated. Everybody, including a multi-billionaire, wants to know he got more value than he paid for. He wants to be happy with his purchase. He's not interested in feeling like I'm rich. That's why I paid so much for it. So I tell people that if you want rich people to patronize you, give them something that most people can't afford. What I mean is that, look, a rich man probably won't go and buy himself, that's a very rich person in Nigeria, probably won't go and buy a Kia or a Tokumboka. Do you get my point? So don't go and buy a Tokumbo and shine it up and call him his brand new and tell him it's brand new. It's not necessary. Go and buy a brand new one and sell it to him. He will pay you money. You are getting the point I'm making? So, taking that research as an example, one of the reasons why she started dealing in watches is that, look, it started like this. I wanted a wristwatch. I wanted a good wristwatch. And I couldn't find. And I said, why is this so difficult? So I had to buy from the US. So I said, okay, why don't you just start selling? And true, one is that people found out that, oh, a lot of people wanted it. One thing is sure, you guarantee the person, any name you see on this is real. You know, most human beings have never seen a real citizen. No, I'm not joking about that. It sounds funny. Most human beings have never, but you see citizens everywhere. But most human beings have never seen a real one, and they don't know. I was citizen all my life. I only found out they were not real, maybe 2 years ago. Just 2 years here, or 3 years ago, was when I found out what I've been calling citizen has never been citizen. That they won't sell citizen for the price I was paying. So, if she offers you one, one thing you're sure of, and I'm talking about a good name, is that this one is real. If you need to use the serial number, go to their website, send an email to confirm, go ahead. Because most certainly it is real. Then the man who is rich will pay for it. What is ungodly is for you to go and get a good Chinese copy of a citizen and tell somebody it is a real one. What you are doing is you are stealing. People say it's business. It's not like business in it. Somebody says, okay, what if that's what you have to sell? Look, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. You say, all right, good. Once the customer comes, say, oh, that your citizen, how much is it? He said, first of all, this is not a real citizen. It's a copy. Now, having said that, this is my price. Then you start fighting each other. Okay, no, I will pay you 700. This one is the correct one. This is a good copy. This one is 1,002. You start boxing up and down on it. Why I told that story about the suit thing was that there are people that they say, no, there are people my wife knows that they have been buying these same suits from other people for 3 times this price. But you know, instead of mine is a 12,000, I say, no, I only wear the real. Now, you will now join the gang of those who tell lies because you want that man to buy from you. It's not necessary. Interesting thing is that one day he will find out, and that's one day you must never be the one he found out on. Do you get my point? No, you mustn't be. He will go somewhere and see a friend of his wearing exactly the same thing. He bought his own, 70 grand. And I said, you wear my kind of suit. Where did you buy it from? He said, how much of it? I said, there's one madam that sold it for me. In fact, I paid her 11,500 because I bought three. The guy go look in shed. Then he will hunt him for the guy who sold it to him. He can't do anything. He said, that's my price. That's my price. No wahala. I've said this again and again. I saw it in a book. There was one book I was reading like 2 days ago. I saw it. All right? Though I've been saying it for a very long time. I said, every business that you open will have the first customer. Somebody will stumble in one day and patronize you. But real businesses that grow thrive on that customer coming back. And not only coming back, bringing his friends with him. Each person being satisfied, bringing other people with it. That reduces your cost of advertising and the amount of legal fees you have to pay. If it's America, going to court every day. Because you see, if dissatisfied people, they can make your life miserable. Please, do you follow the point I'm making there? All right, you know, I was trying to build up to something. I've been saying many, many things. I wanted to answer a question. I said, let me just review. But then we have been saying many things, many other things I was supposed to say. And I hope you're learning something from it. All right? Now, like I said, spiritual, economic empowerment, and development. I want us to emphasize on those spiritual foundations, not on how to trade, how not to trade. There are some spiritual things that you must put in place, and you're on your path to success, everlasting success. Like I said before, God and Satan offer about the same thing when they are talking. The difference is that Satan gives you quickly without the manipulation of your character. That is, you don't have to change. You want it now? Just bow to me. I'm not impressed that this man is very, very rich. He's worth 10 billion naira. Wait. One thing I know is that if Jesus had bowed to Satan, he would have been the richest man in the world. So a man is the richest man in the world is not what impresses me. A man is very rich, he has a story to tell, it does not impress me. Do you get my point? That's why I want to take the scriptures as my foundation. Then as I go on, I can use other people's examples to highlight a point. But no matter the results they claim to get, it's not my issue. The issue is what the Bible says. I will draw my wisdom from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. That's what Elihu said. And that's what I'm dealing with. Because I found out, if Jesus had bowed to Satan, he would have become what? The richest man in the world in the business area. Why? Because Satan told him, bow to me and I will give you. See, I can give you Nigerian Breweries, Ajip, Coca-Cola, all the kingdoms that he had acquired. And hear it. People are still bound to Satan till today. Many people who are rich bow to Satan. But what we are trying to teach is that you don't have to bow to Satan to be rich. Are you getting my point? Like my friend was telling me yesterday, Mike, when he came. You know, he said, Banky, there's something you said that we keep remembering. That there's nothing Satan offers you that God didn't plan to give you before. And much more than Satan can give. So the difference is that with God, it's like this. Walk before me and be perfect. And then that blessing will come to you. Satan says, why do you have to walk before anybody and be perfect? Why waste time? Why waste the time? We can give you tomorrow. And that's what most people fall for. Listen, if you see a young man, whoever it is, an old man, who became very rich, joining a cult, doing some evil practices, whatever it is, know one thing for sure. That is less than what God had planned to give him. You see a young lady, she decided to be an actress, start sleeping with all the big directors, and became a famous actress worldwide. And somebody say, what happened? She was sleeping with Steven Spielberg. Eh? No, if I said this, it sounds funny, but some men are so powerful. They are so powerful that they can make somebody overnight. If Steven Spielberg decides that he wants to make you a world famous star, it's simple. He knows how to do it. But one of my friends used to make a joke that, what's the name of this guy? Babyface. The musician. That guy could make anybody, that he would just look for a group of boys So you're not doing badly. Say, you, your name is Boys to Men, and instantly you were hit. Now all he needs to do, write the songs, produce the songs, he's there, as he has sing up, he knows how he's doing his recording. When he finishes, manipulate the thing, synthesize it. Once, how can Babyface release something that doesn't hit? Now, some men are that powerful. No, that's, my friends and I call them principalities. Someone was describing a young man to me the other day that the guy is a billionaire in Nigeria, Nigerian level. He said only one man, one single man made him rich. He just connected into one big company in Nigeria and started giving him big jobs. One man made him rich. One man. Do you get the point? Now, so a lot of people not understanding that actually God rules in the affairs of men. Are you getting my point? God gives kingdoms to people. God just gave that man, allowed that man to hold that kingdom for that season. And sometimes God leaves those things around as temptations for other people. Let me see those who really want to serve me. So you see, I was telling the story about the young lady who wants to be an international actress. Of course, they do it a lot. I'll sleep with one big director today, one big producer tomorrow. The following year, she's up there. Earning $5 million per movie. Anytime you see it, hear it, quote me. That I say, you see, if she's earning $5 million per movie, she will have earned $20 million for that movie. But not next year. Not in 10 years' time, maybe. It will have taken time. And what's God doing? God is developing a character that can carry blessing and influence the generations after positively. But this person wasn't willing to wait. Therefore, he signed a deal with Satan and became a minister of the devil. That's when confusion enters their soul. Next thing is cocaine. It's not sniffing cocoa left, right, and center. Smoking. You look at the person, you can't recognize the fellow anymore. You show up on stage, walk naked. You know what? No, I tell ladies. You see, some of these people, and you know, they become agents of Satan. They don't know. Most people who are serving the devil don't know that's what they are doing. What do I mean by angels of Satan? They know the young girls in secondary school start, look at this person. Next day, all of them are wearing clothes like her. And Satan said, very nice, very nice. I am filling the earth with my corruption. Yes, that's what is happening. It becomes a negative influence on the earth. If the same person, which is my message, had walked with God, are you getting my point? The fellow will have reached a place bigger than that and will have become a positive influence for God on the earth. And let me just give you this assignment again. Every one of you children of God, that's your job. God wants you to walk with him, reach a particular place. Then other people will now look. So when next time somebody said, you want to make it in this business? Look, I want to sleep with you guys. Say, wait, let me show you somebody who didn't sleep with anybody. Come. See that auntie? Didn't sleep with anybody. I know her husband. You people tried her. I know you people did. All you evil spirits, may God punish all of you. Satan, I cast you out in Jesus' name. If you talk to a man like that, he will never come back. That is it's Satan. You know, it's when you start saying, no, now, you know I'm a Christian. No, now, it's not right, though. He said, what is it? And they are telling you, when you look at the person, you just look for one bottle of oil, say, in Jesus' name, I Holy Ghost fire. That guy is going to leave you alone. And he will not come back again. No, God wants to make you an example. He said, is it okay to do this kind of business, do bribery, this? He said, wait, come. See that guy? I knew when he started. This man, they tried to get him to do it, he refused. 2 years old, he didn't have money. I remember this time when he tried to do the business, they took it away from him because he wouldn't do it. But look at him now. None of them can stand where he's standing. Listen, God needs such references for younger generations. And believe me, I told you, a lot of people who are serving Satan don't know what they are doing. Interestingly enough, many of the things we are doing for God, we don't even understand the extent of it. I believe very strongly, all right, that one of the reasons why we are here this morning, all right, is for us to learn this principle. Because God said, look, I'm tired of oppressors being the one that have, you know, the oppressors being the one that have a voice in this nation. I'm tired of young men, young women worshipping small boys who have joined the occult to make money. I'm tired of them. You know, I'm tired of them becoming stupid and negative influences for the next generation that I'm trying to raise. I need serious people who will work with me. I will bring stability into their homes, into their lives, into their business, into everything. They will become positive influences in the society. And everybody will know. And they will be saying, ah, don't go near that man. The Lord has surrounded him with an hedge round about. Let me say this. Do you know if Job was living now today, he doesn't need Mopo to work? You know that? If Job was living today, being the greatest man, he does not need a mobile policeman. Because everybody will talk, all the evil spirits that kill people, they will have talked to them and say, that guy, that fellow. The Lord has sent a hedge around him. The last four bands of thieves were sent towards him. Two came back without their arms. Two heads were missing. Then the other three, policemen used them to play in the cell. Say, listen, you want to live long in this business, one man you mustn't attack is that one. There are certain shops you don't go to. Anyone that has his logo on it is a risky place. No, that's how Satan... You don't get the point. That's how Satan was handling Job's matters. You know how he knew Job had the hedge around him? You want to know how he knew? He tried. They bruised and small. You know what I mean? He tried to attack when the angel, the hedge, their beings, spirit beings, angels. Please, go and read books like Angels on Assignment. Alright? Then read this novel, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness by Frank Peretti. They are novels, but it will give you an idea. Then go and read the story of Elisha. Alas, my master, how shall we do? Then they use chewing stick in the morning. Say, don't worry, boy. Those who are with us are more than those who are what? Against us. Do you get the point? Look, that's what God wants to do. He wants to set us up as examples of prosperity for the other people to follow. That was supposed to be like a review, but I think I eventually preached my whole message for today. All right? The thing I was going to say, we'll push it on to the evening. When I was preparing this, I trusted the Lord that He would be the one to say what He wants to say. So the things I want to say, I'll just leave them till later. Let me now answer that first question. All right? And the question was that, somebody asked a question, and Peter left them behind at home. He said that, you know, yesterday I said, pay people what you owe. Is that okay? And I told the examples of that don't even try and shift your responsibilities to somebody else. That is, I bought something from somebody, I used to supply somebody else, and I started telling that person, and they have not yet paid me. They have not yet paid me. Therefore, putting the responsibility on the day, forgetting that the day did not deal with that fellow. I was the one. So somebody now asked a question and said that, well, the way it was written, my auntie asked my friend and I to do a job. We did it, and she has not yet paid. Do I pay my... That is straining the friendship between my friend and I. Do I pay my friend to, you know, so as to settle the matter? Now, I will answer that question two ways. Based on what I thought. Now, let me just give a number of scenarios. If it was a direct deal with your auntie involving the two of you, it's not your responsibility. You didn't contract with your friend. You get my point? You didn't contract with anybody. You are getting what I'm saying? No, you did not. Therefore, it's not your name that's at stake. Your friend is just saying, because it's your relative, you and your auntie, maybe, you know, just they transfer the vex for your body, that is all. Which is bad on the person's side, is wrong on the person's side. So basically, that is not your responsibility. That is the straightforward answer to that question. You are not an intermediary. Both of you sat down and negotiated with the person in question. So it's not your responsibility. You get what I'm saying? You have not been paid. She has not been paid. You are not. It's not your job to pay her. But if your auntie gave you a job and you invited your friend to come and do it with you, offering a pay. Now, sometimes, you know, I told something yesterday. I said, you use words to entrap yourself and you use words also to deliver yourself. If you state things clearly from the beginning, okay, in fact, I remember another question now, and I remember another question based on what I'm saying now, that I'm supposed to answer. If you stated something clearly from the beginning, and there was no ambiguity. For example, let us assume that I was the one giving the job. And I called you, my friend, to come and join me. And I told you this job is being given by this person. The job is big. I can't do it alone. Let us do it together and we share the money. Listen, I've already told you clearly, you're not working for me. You can't expect to get money until we get paid. I'm not subcontracting. I'm sharing the job. It's even from when I've gotten the job for, let's say, 50,000 naira. I now hire you and one other person. And I say, okay, I'll pay you 10,000, I'll pay you 10,000. Intending to chop the 30K. Or even if it's 5K, whatever it is. Then you are doing the job for me. Even if you know who owns the business, it doesn't matter. I contracted you. But it's different from when I was given the contract and I said it's too big. And I brought you in and said, look, let's go and see the person. Do you get my point? You should know when you are taking your own risk. Your friend took his or her own risk and it's not your business. That is a basic answer to that question. But then there's another side. Sometimes people just do things because of, you know, Job said, matters that did not concern me, I investigated them. So there are times you just say, look, this is my auntie. That's what they do. You know? And maybe you now know your friend needs the money and you have the money. At such times, you go and give, you don't give money you don't have. You now say, don't worry. I'll collect the money from my auntie. You need your money now. What you're trying to do that, maybe you just want to protect, let's leave your auntie out. Sometimes it's your father. Let's use that as an example. That's a very good one. And because of the love you have for your father, you want to protect his name. So that one is not out of obligation to the person now. It's more of, you just have another thing. You have another agenda in mind. So you pay up for your father and then telling the person that, no, my father and I will settle. Automatically, you are redeeming your father's name for him. Do you understand my point? It's not because you're under obligation. I hope I've answered that question. Everybody's clear. The other question I said along the line is this. Somebody asked me that you and somebody agreed on something. We'll do this business, we'll share the profit 50-50. At the end of the day, the person says, the 70-30 we agreed on. Now, you don't have to open your mouth. Sometimes people actually make mistakes. He heard you wrongly. You remember 50-50, he remembers 70-30. He may have remembered 70-30 because he wanted 70-30. No, because there are many reasons. You see, there are many reasons people do things. Many reasons. Maybe in his mind, when you were negotiating, he's reminding you in his mind, though he couldn't say it, that one, we are sharing the labor 50-50. That is, both of us are putting in half of the labor each. But I'm putting in all of the money. You know it can happen. That I put in all of the money, then this other fellow and I are putting both, and we are putting equally the same amount of labor. So in his mind, he feels that you don't know how to do a contract. So this cannot be 50-50. That my money should take one portion, my labor takes one portion, your labor takes one portion. Though this actually should be, 33, 33. It's 33, 33, 33. So I should take 66.7. Okay, let's say 7, why you take 33? Something like that. And that's what he's thinking. But he's not saying it to you. By the way, that's the correct thing. Talking business matters now. The capital has his own share. The labor has his own share. If somebody brings the capital and he brings labor, he gets portion for capital, he gets portion for labor. That's the way it is. That's why a man doesn't come near a business, he invests money. Oftentimes, he gets more than the person who do not the labor, depending on how you value each thing. So now, that kind of scenario that I painted earlier, or that person painted, it happens all the time. It's called misunderstanding. Please, I want you to say it loud. Misunderstanding. You know what it means? You missed the understanding, according to Miles Morrow. Miles Morrow will say, write that word down. M-I-S. Actually, it's a compound word in the English, which means to be off target. Now write the next word down. U-N-D-E-R. Under. It means to stand beneath the same perspective. Write the next word down. That's my small row. So you missed the understanding. You thought you were standing in the same spot, but you were not. You are getting the point. Now, that will happen again and again in life. It will always happen. I remember now, that day, you said this. And you know the interesting part? Both parties may not be lying. Both of them are telling you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I mean, their hands are up, they can swear by it. So you know the solution to that? Chinese proverb says, the faintest ink is better than the sharpest memory. As much as possible, write things down. I have tried to teach my wife this thing 10,000 times. She still hasn't learned it. You sell something to somebody, say, I'll pay you later. I said, give an invoice. The argument doesn't start. No. That day, you agreed for 5,003. No. I remember I said I wasn't paying more than 5,003. And he said so. Actually, he did. But except that you also remember that, no, I refused. I told you my best price was 7,150.23. I told you that day after my convoluted calculation using all the algorithms possible, the log of that deduction, listen, the cosine, no, I did it for you. You were there that day. And I told you that the least I can sell is 7,000. Yes, I know. But I told you my brother bought his own from so and so place and they gave it to him for 5,000. And now it was only the story will start. You could have solved all of that, that as you are departing, you give an invoice on a slip of paper. He sees it. He keeps it. You have a copy. That is how things are done. People forget. And the drawing of contracts and agreements, putting things in writing, is not necessarily a sign of lack of trust. Do you get the point? Just write it down. Make a note. Make sure you always have carbon. No, it's very simple. Make sure you always have a small notebook and carbon paper. So as we are talking, all right, so you take 35%. If we make a profit of 100,000 and above, is that okay? Says yes. After you've discussed for 1 hour, you're writing everything down. It's on carbon. When you finish, you tear the original and say, look at it. Is that what we agreed on? The fellow says yes. Okay, you hold that. I have a copy here. Say, what is this for? You know these things. People tend to forget. Now, there's no quarreling about it. He said, no, it's not necessary now. I said, I know, but I have written. You want to tear it? These days, Yahoo has even made it easy. Hotmail. They've made it very easy. Just next day, send the person a mail to confirm that these are the agreements. He said, hi, Chike. I remember that. I just want to summarize everything we discussed yesterday so that I'll be sure there's no misunderstanding. You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to put the record of it down and you email it to the person. It's permanently in that box, permanently in yours. Yahoo gives you unlimited storage for unlimited time. Till Jesus comes back, Yahoo storage is there. Mail sent 10 years ago, you can always retrieve it. Just keep it there. That way, there's no... Once the arguments, I say, no. That was not what we said. No, I remember. All right, no. Why are we arguing now? You have internet there? Enter. Search. Just search something. Open. This was it. I sent you the mail. Now start arguing that I did not read it. It's a very simple thing. That's why I told my wife. I said, look, when you finish, sometimes I say, it's because to you it's not important. Don't tell me that you don't have time. Have your small invoice book, small one, right next to you. As soon as you finish, just write this. These are the things you took. Say, why? I said, no, so just for my records. It's a very simple way of explaining. Just for my records. I want to be sure. You tear it and give the person. You have it. You have a copy. Permanent. It's never... There's no story on who said what, who did not say what, to who. Most people are just careless. Just by the way, if somebody hands you money, all right, count it. You know, we have an unconscious attitude. We think that we are telling the person, I don't trust you. So we don't want to offend the person. I have a friend, you know what he does? If he's supposed to give you, let's say 100,000 naira in 1,000 naira notes, he will remove 1,000 naira and give you 99,000 naira. He's not stealing the money. And he'll put that one in your pocket. Say, where's the money? He'll give it to him. He'll give it to you. And he'll keep it in the pocket. He's looking at you. If you turn around to go, he'll pull it back. Say, you haven't counted it. He said, no. No, there's no problem now. He said, please count it. Then you will count it and say, it's 99. Then he'll give you the 1,000. He wasn't planning to steal it. He just wants to tell you that you should have counted it. Because sometimes I count, I make a mistake. Something happened to my wife the other day, which was very interesting. She went to the bank, paid him money, gave the person a bundle of 50 or 500 naira notes, and recorded in the, listen, this is very interesting, and recorded in the voucher, that you know, the teller that with which you pay, that it was a bundle of 100,000, of 1,000. It was a mistake. The teller counted it and recorded that it was a bundle of 1,000. So the teller, now, she just, it's not as if like you are hiding, you want to defraud somebody. The money is in front like this. It's just, you know, he was just writing. The bundle, when you just look at that one, it's okay. Just, I mean, it's, you know, it happens. Yesterday I paid one man, I thought I gave him 150. Then I said, okay, you go balance me now. I said, ah, no be 150, you say the thing be. He said, but now 120 give me now. I look, ah, now 20 naira, no be 50 naira. And of course, I changed it for him. There was no, it happens every day. It doesn't mean you're dishonest. The young teller wrote that this woman paid me 100,000 naira. And he, with his own hands, counted it to be 100 pieces, except that he signed that it was 1,000 naira times 100. Oh, what saved the situation? That's why. Anyway, thank God for it. She knew people around there. So the cash officer is her friend. So later, and then the teller has seen her gisting with the guy. You know, the cash officer, we all go to the same church, one guy in our church. So I think, at the end of the day, if you know how bankers are, the person tried to balance the books. The books didn't balance. It was chronically 50,000 naira short. Ah, oh God, you've not stayed with a banker. You know, because they can't record in the book, so the book no balance. Nobody's going home until the 50,000 naira is found. And sometimes you don't find it, you just find it. You know what I'm saying? You will look for money and put it in. So they are sweated for a long time. Then I think the guys suddenly remember that, ah, wait, that madam that came, are you sure? No, I think I remember. Ah, no, I think it was 50,000 naira, not 1,000. Ah, but he signed. No, I mean, that is, if my wife had said, no, it was 1,000, there's nothing he could do. He signed that they were 1,000 naira notes. And I said, who is the person? Maybe just chatted. Okay, that woman that you were talking to, the guy just picked his phone and called my wife, say, how much did you give this guy? And she just told him how much it was. That is the correct amount. Do you understand? Oh, it was 50,000 naira. Ah, say, sorry, we entered 100,000 here. You wrote 100,000 and we also entered 100,000. So, get my point, it had entered her account. The email had entered her box that thanks for crediting 100,000. They had to send another email. Say, transaction cancellation. They did not credit the correct amount of 50,000. Now, you get what I just told that story to let you know that people make mistakes. They do. I don't want to keep on telling you story because it happened to you also before. I have gone to a bank before to collect money. I was supposed to send it to my friend Chooks in America. I went to Aboki, bought dollar for him. It was the Aboki that realized I was 10,000 naira overpaid. Because I knew the exact amount. I didn't check it. I just, as they gave it to me, I went to the Aboki. Here it is. Let me have the dollars. So he counted, and pulled out 10,000 and gave it back to me. And instantly understood what happened. And because my wife used to work in that same branch, and the money was paid to me by her friend, all right? I just took my phone, called the woman. Madam, please, you paid me 10,000 naira over. And I didn't count the money because it was a friend, you know, I didn't count it. Why I called her immediately is that my wife used to work in the bank, and I know the way it is. If that money not balance, heavy sweating. So at least as soon as I called them, they knew where the money was. They didn't get it the next day because it was now late and all of that. So the following day was when I dropped it for them. But at least their souls went to rest. That this 10K is somewhere. You see the story I have told to make a point. Next time somebody hands you money, count it. It's not lack of trust. The idea is that you want to solve arguments later. I gave you 25,600. Well, when I go home, maybe it's my brother that stole it. That boy, I've been watching his movement. So the suspicion does not end. You get my point? Do I need to say further? What have I emphasized? It's not lack of trust. It's double checking. When we were in the Navy, I was never in the Navy. When we were on the USS Abraham Lincoln, it was our submarine. I was never in the US Navy, as you know. I'm not an American. Just a joke. But this is how they give commands in the military. At least I watch this in movies and all of that. They say, set the course for 25 degrees north and so on. As they are saying it, one man is repeating it. As they are saying it, is they are passing the paper down. You know, it's first announced and the paper is going down. So by that, the guy starts setting the course. Before he finally hits the final key to make the ship turn direction, he confirms from the paper. He's hearing it, though. It's not there, fool. Like three people repeat it. 25 degrees north. Say, aye, aye, sir. 25 degrees north. As they are saying it, paper is changing hand. Written boldly, 25 degrees north. And the man says, yeah, aye, aye, sir. 25 degrees. Because if you sail into enemy waters, wahala. If you go and bomb, if you bomb the wrong person, trouble. Tell your neighbor, count the money. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So that's, I think, I've answered two questions now.